Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
We are in the studio, Post-Credit Scene podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV, and theatre because of Manny. He's part of the pod, I guess, isn't he? So.
I guess so.
Yeah, we're back in the studio for one of the final eps of the year.
I would say his love for theatre is starting to be a little bit infectious.
Oh, yeah,
like, you can, I want to go see some more theatre shows.
Yeah, that shit sounds real expensive, man. You
lot, this is exactly what I'm saying. One day we're going to have a discussion about theatre and why it's really a class institution.
Oh, it really is.
But I don't want to have a conversation with Manny because he's going to start telling me things and I don't want to hear his jargon.
Like, it really is. There's a conversation for that.
Because you're right. But yeah. Anyway, that's a different conversation for another day.
Oh, yeah, for real. We're here to catch up. Have a quick catch up about what we've been watching in the last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks because we ain't done one of these for a while. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, Biss, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I've missed you guys. I feel like I haven't been here in ages.
You defrosted quick.
Yeah. Oh, when I got in here today, yeah. Fucking Kelly, man. I was like, I fucking hate these boys. Why are we in West London? Always in West London. We literally have a studio in South. Why are we doing this? I was so pissed off. And then now I saw you guys' face and I was like, wow. I love you guys.
We have similar-ish journeys. Similar-ish, like-ish. There's the huge emphasis on the ish, obviously.
Huge emphasis.
Because yeah, I have to get long travels.
But I have to get a train to get my underground, and that's what the issue is. But people live in the right next to underground stations. Anyways, I digress. I'm getting
no, that's fine. You're okay.
Because I realised who I was talking to.
Yeah. So I was like, you're good.
And you was actually looking that way, which is what was great.
Yeah, exactly.
I was really like, I'm free. I'm enjoying this so much. But good to see you. This has been a while. So yeah, and then obviously we've got Jason back in the studio as well. How are you, bro?
I'm good, man. Happy to be here. And you know, I was excited for today's episode because I wasn't sure if Biz was going to make it. And we haven't been on an episode since like the live show.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
It's been a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Since the live show, we haven't been.
I don't even see Jason. I feel like.
That's what I was doing things.
You were an old age. You're a different age, and now you're a new age.
Oh my god, yeah. Now.
Oh wow.
Thanks for reminding me.
Hashtag trigger warning.
That's mad. Fair's enough. Before we get going, make sure to follow the podcast on all socials. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe. We're on YouTube. Oh, we should be back on YouTube properly from next year, I believe.
Inshallah, man.
Inshallah, yeah.
We did upload our full episode with the one and only Lashana Lynch. Shout out to Lashana Lynch, friend of the show. Round of applause as well. It was a good episode. People actually have said quite a few times. Mm. That was a really good episode. You look actually. You lot are good at podcasting. I was like, oh.
Yeah, just shock that someone's episode. This is really great. And I was like, and you're shocked. You bum bitch.
Oh, yeah, and you stole victory.
I didn't steal victory. Firstly, whoever Persona is,
I'm not going to say who edited that. Go on, continue.
Yeah, a bum bitch is who edited it. My name was spelt wrong.
No, I saw.
Yeah. Bisnar. Whoever that is. So that person might have got victory, but this Persona thought she won. And Lashana gave it to me, so that's what that matters.
Yeah, she's a good soul, to be fair to her. And she's got a good series, man, Day of the Jackal. Do you want to talk about it or do you want to save it? Because it could be part of our, like...
No, I want to talk about it for a second. Yeah.
You want to talk about it briefly?
So I finished it a couple weeks ago, yeah? And I feel like Renee, sitting on a bad boy piece of information. That's Lani. Sitting on a bad boy piece of information, yeah.
Right.
So I finished it and I've been trying to tell everyone, like, guys, trust me, guys, it's the greatest series ever. Just watch it. And then, like, yeah, you did the whole thing with Lashana. That's the reason you're saying that. I'm like, no, guys, you got to lock in. This is such a good show. And it made me realise, yeah, that I watch shows and I tend to root for the bad guy because it feels more like...
It gives you a bit more of a thrill. It's a bit more enjoyable.
I don't want to have to root for the person that's doing the right thing because then it's like pointless.
But then
so
I would argue,
just real quick for the people who haven't watched it, what's the like synopsis, I guess?
So Day of the Jackal is an espionage series starring Lashana Lynch and Eddie Redmayne. Lashana Lynch plays an MI6 agent trying to find this assassin. Who, I don't know if I should say it, but you know it's Eddie Redmayne within like the first episode or so.
I mean, it's pretty out there.
Yeah. And it's literally, you're just watching a cat and mouse between these two really good actors. And I guess you root for Eddie Redmayne because you're like, he's really good. But also like, there are so many moments of the Day of the Jackal, yeah, that just make it better than everything else.
Okay.
Like, there's one particular scene when Eddie Redmayne's in a hotel and he is, he's about to... kill someone, but like there's a silence in the whole act, that whole, like, that part of the episode is just completely silent until, like, they move the shot outside. But inside the room, then you hear him breathing before he's, like, pulls the trigger. But every part of it, I'm just like, yes, kill him, kill him, kill him, yes! It's that lead up. You're just like, this is so good. And also, they make, which I really, really love, they make someone that's, like, a minority group a flawed character. So, okay. Lashana Lynch's character, Bianca, is quite a flawed person, but also it makes her more likable.
Yeah.
Like, you've watched Scandal, innit?
Yeah, of course.
So, Cyrus Bean is gay, but also the worst human being on the planet. And I think that makes him more enjoyable as a character, yeah, because you're just more well-rounded, as opposed to, like, he's gay, so we'll leave him to the side. Or, like, NZ's Ed, I forgot his name, but the wheelchair user, is genuinely a piece of shit.
Yeah, they use kind of, like, well, some shows anyway, not all, but, like, they use kind of, like, the minority as, like, the morally good person.
Yeah,
and it's just,
it's
like,
really
you don't get that in real life. You don't get that in real life.
That's not how life is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, honestly, and there is, don't get wrong, I still hate sex scenes, but I do believe...
Go on.
You talk about episode 7?
Yeah. Men should be kissing more on TV.
Is that your roundup of the...
That's me.
Fez.
No, it's a good series, man. It's really good. I think Eddie Redmayne's superb. I think there's like a meticulous nature to everything that's done in the series, from their actions as characters when they're doing certain things and working around sort of materials and weapons and so on, to what you mentioned before in terms of there's a lot of attention to detail, in particular shots, the way shots are framed. So, for example, that opening scene that you just discussed leaves you in a sort of bit of suspense because there's a moment where you think something's going to happen and it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then when it actually does happen, you're caught off guard, and that's cool because it would have been too easy for that thing to have happened when it did, or when you would have thought of. But instead, it sort of leaves you in a moment of suspense, and then it happens, and it's really, really well sort of directed. There's a lot of character development as well across the series. And as you mentioned before, I think I really enjoyed Lashana Lynch's character, Bianca. I enjoyed the exploration of her personal life and her professional, and the way those two sort of, even for Eddie, to be fair, the Jackal has a personal life. There's more to him than being a spy, which adds layers to the character. So he's not just a spy. He's got things that are up for stake, which keeps the series intense. It keeps you wanting to watch because there's actually, they've both got a lot to lose. And I could even argue, it feels like the Jackal felt like he had more to lose than Bianca, because it felt like he was more attached to his family than Bianca was, which is really interesting. But the series is also, despite it being
that's
very...
That's a flip of the script type of thing, because normally you'd have, like, the person, woman, the hero, not even just the woman, but, like, the hero being the one, like, oh, I've got so much to lose. But then the assassins, usually you have them, like, series being, like, super cold-hearted, because it... Okay, it doesn't sound like, but it feels like there are a lot of kind of, like, comparisons between that and Killing Eve, for example.
There are. Do you know, it is the attention to detail that makes it so similar, is that they really do care and think about the characters. And yes, he is an assassin and is meant to be a horrible person, but he clearly does love things.
Yeah.
And once you find out what he truly loves, you can actually press at that, and that can be used as that key weakness.
His life does sort of unravel. But the reason why I was saying her being a woman is quite important, because it speaks to what you said before about not being very, like, archetypical and stereotypical in how you write characters. Women aren't supposed to be a particular way, neither are men. It can be quite fluid, is, I guess, the word I would use for characters and people, because we can't all be boxed into, like, one way of behaviour. But yeah, that's a good series. And life unravels for his character across the series, despite how skilled he is. Like, this guy, when I'm talking about skilled assassin, bro, it's like one of the best assassins I've seen on TV.
100%.
Like, one of the best.
Okay.
Like, cold.
I love the Jackal.
He's a really interesting character. He likes chess as well.
Yeah.
He likes chess.
I actually love the Jackal.
Yes, you
should. Obviously, I'm not meant to.
You can,
I'm not meant to, but...
You know that, without spoilers, the boat scene?
Boat scene. Like, oh my god.
Episode 9-ish.
Oh my god.
Crazy.
How many episodes?
10.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's the best 10 hours I've spent in my life.
Yeah. I'm assuming this is all on Sky?
Sky on RTV. She binged it within God knows, man.
Like, because I was going to wait. Basically, when we did the interview, I was like, I want to watch all of it at once. I don't want to get, like, then they put out the first 5 episodes. And I was like, oh my god, I was
you
like, itching for it.
You're locked in.
I messaged guys, I was like, guys, no, please, someone give me a fix. And then I finished it. And I'm messaging everyone, like, has everyone watched it? Just like industry, when I was begging everyone to watch it, and no one's like.
Yeah, but you had the privilege.
Okay.
You can't blame people because you.
Yeah, you still blame you.
Me?
Yeah, finish it. Finish it by the time I finished it.
Oh, yeah, but I did finish it in the end.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh shit, now people are messaging me week by week.
Yeah, and it's pissing me off because it's like, people are messaging me, but I'm like,
I did tell you. Yeah. And I did tell you. But the ending's actually really good as well.
And it's fantastic. Officially, how many episodes are out?
Nine, I believe now.
Nine. Okay.
No, it's eight.
Is it eight?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So even if I wanted to, I couldn't even finish it at the moment, but fine.
Don't use that as an excuse.
Make it your Christmas watch.
Yeah.
It will be my Christmas watch.
Yeah, make it your Christmas watch. It's a good series, man. Eddie's superb. Ursula Cabrera plays a character, I'm not going to say who. Mm. She's really good as well. She's in my house. Yeah, she's really good.
I really like her.
Charles Dance. It's a really stacked cast, to be honest. Really, really well-written series. Definitely going to potentially make. Anyway, we'll move on. Talking about spies, spy thrillers, there's another one that's come out this week. You're an episode and a half in
Black
or two.
Dubs.
You started it?
Haven't started it. I was going to do it when I get back home tonight. Keira Knightley one, right?
Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Keira Knightley meet. It's a good series, man.
The first thing I've seen her since.
Spin 'em in.
Since Pirates. Anyway.
She's had some shows and films.
Like, that's the first time I've seen her, like, in anything like major, because it's being advertised quite heavily before it came out as well. And I was just like, Keira Knightley.
I haven't heard
that name in a minute.
I think Netflix think they've got their big one because they already commissioned.
I think they have. Yeah.
They already commissioned their season two.
Is it
before it came out?
I mean, it looked good.
It's good.
Yeah.
One thing Brits are gonna do, yeah, is like these. Even if it's like, if it's spies, if
crime.
It's crime,
it's just our
this
bag.
Is, this is just
that's the Brits bag.
This is all
that's
we can really do. We can't bag. Do many things. We can't finish building the roundabout at Old Street, but we can do this. Like, we really eat when it comes to this.
It's our bag, man.
And you know what's so funny? Because we're gonna talk about it probably eventually, but the American versions of like these crime shows that come out really suck. They really suck.
I know what show you're talking about already.
What are you talking about?
So, I know what show. Wait, let's save it. We can talk about it. Yeah. That's so far.
On Prime Video.
Yes, I did.
Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was middling. It was really middling.
It was so mid. Like, it was so extremely mid that it annoyed me.
Yeah, I think because I feel like they tried to cram in too much on it.
It could have been a good series. It had so much potential.
It had two really good ideas, half baked.
Yeah,
and then like the social commentary on it. I was like, okay, this is interesting. Most TV shows don't tackle this whole, you know, police brutality, especially black on black. But like the ending note on it, I actually felt like, oh my God, was I am a victim of propaganda?
Not for real. It didn't feel like propaganda at a point. But like, I think for me, when I watched it, I was like, this is gonna be really, really good.
Wow.
It started off really good.
Are you pivoting from Black Doves? Which is fine. It's fun. I don't mind it.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh, we're on cross now. We're on cross now. Yeah, we're on cross.
We're on cross. Because I'm going to slate cross and I'm going to come and talk about how much I love cool. Black Doves.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
There were moments, like, when I was watching it, when I got to episode 3, I was like, I can't tell if I like this one, but like a true binger I am, I'm still going to finish it. Then I came to the end and I was like, I did not enjoy this. I predicted every single move that was going to happen. And like, don't get me wrong, I do predict a lot of shows, but not this wasn't a good type of prediction. I was like, she's gonna be the one in there. Like she's, it's her.
Yeah,
I was like, it's just so everything's just so.
What, Nana Cross's dog, Nana Cross's friend, is that who's talking about?
Yeah.
You saw that happen.
Yeah, I was like, of course, because she was so like eerie the whole season. Like right. It was everything was just so predictable, and I was like, this is so lazy, and like.
I'll be honest, I didn't pay much attention to her.
Do you not know? Like, there were certain points because there's Mystery Woman. We know that's a Mystery Woman,
right?
Mm. And it has to be an older Mystery Woman. Who else could it be? It was just so, like, it just felt like...
It felt predictable.
Why did we do this? And I do usually love, when they show who, like, the killer is or the bad guy is quite early on and it's a whole cat and mouse and we have to figure out, like, how they're going to see each other. But the fact that they both knew about each other within the first 3 episodes and then you're at his dinner party, he's got a random baby in the, and then the new shorty's all angry at you. But I'm like, baby girl, there's a serial killer in the house.
There's a serial killer in the house.
Focus
no, do you know what? Do you know what? I feel like her reaction was quite valid because when she did find out that the guy was a serial killer, she's like, you brought me to a serial killer's yard. Like, what's going on?
But you're out here like banging out. It's leave you to focus on leaving this place. Like, can everyone be serious for a second? Can we all actually lock in? No one's locking in here.
No one's locking in. I feel like
she did kind of come clutch though. That always happens.
Yeah,
she did kind of come clutch in the final episode.
No, she did.
One thing I do really hate is like these in shows. Like they do it these things where it's just like they create a misunderstanding that can be solved with a fucking good constructive sentence.
Mm.
Like just say what you want to say. How you want to say it, and then the problem would be solved. But like they do so much fucking tap dancing, and it annoys me so much. And I was just thinking to myself, right? And I was Aldous Hodge. I enjoy him as an actor.
I'm glad you added that in, by the way.
Yeah, I think he's great.
No, I think he's a good actor. Like, I've...
No, I said I'm glad you added that as an actor because you said you enjoyed him. I was like, what context?
No, oh. This guy, man. No, I will say that. I do support you. I will say, as much as I do enjoy him as an actor, I do think to myself, like, okay, cool, this is clearly an eye candy type of guy.
No, that's absolutely
you don't think so?
That's absolutely
you don't think he's handsome?
Absolutely not.
Fair enough.
Wait, you don't think he's handsome, you don't think he's eye candy?
Sorry, I thought you were talking about the white guy for a second.
No, I just watched the main character, yeah. Cross.
Oh, sexy man. Sorry, let me take it back.
The white guy.
Yeah, that's what I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's what I was like,
No.
That was purely on his merit and acting. That's nothing
we're,
else.
We're talking about Aldous Hodge.
Yeah, that scene when he was, sorry.
He's a fantastic actor, but I do think, like...
Sorry. Talking about opening the scene when he's like up in his crutch.
Oh.
Like, me next, Jake.
Nah, focus.
Sorry, focus.
But like, I feel like his character didn't have enough time to grow.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of things where it was just like, he felt like the, there's a specific term, but like almost like a black superhero where it's like, he's just got one thing on his mind and one thing on his mind only. Mm. Nothing can be distracting. I felt like he would have been better, like as you were saying, with the Jacqueline Bianca's character, if he had, I don't know, better flaws. Like, he is a flawed character, but I felt like those flaws were built from kind of like anger rather than like a good nuanced.
You're saying what I'm thinking, yeah? I probably hate when someone is like a shitty person and we're told why they're a shitty person. And I hate being told when you can just show me instead. Like, he's got trust issues, or he is like, even the way they painted out his grief, it didn't feel like he was actually grieving.
See what I'm saying? Like, that's like, yeah, I don't know. But it's like, all in all though, like with what, I think that's more maybe a little bit of a writing issue rather than an acting one.
It's 100% a writing issue because they did really well with what they were given. I wish they had some English writers in there because I promise you it would be better. So I feel like it just needed more.
It needed more.
It was almost there and then it just went, wow, how shit can we get? And it was like, we'll go shit up. So that's
like,
what it was.
To end it on a positive, I think, like...
Nah. No, I got more.
Double down.
I didn't care about either of the antagonists in the series, the white guy as well as the green,
final one.
Yeah, in the final episode and all that kidnapping stuff. Didn't care about either, and I don't think either were fully fleshed out. I didn't believe them either, and I think for like a crime drama or a crime series or a crime film, espionage, any of that stuff, you need convincing antagonists.
Yeah.
Because you could even argue they're the more interesting character in a certain instance because you're trying to delve into their mindset, what they've gone through, what's happened. And sometimes people are just bad because they're bad, right? So that's fine.
Can I just say something really petty, though, right? Which is why I didn't find them believable. I fucking hated his hairstyle. It pissed me off.
I agree.
Like, these blonde... dyed tips thing or whatever he had going on. I was like, what? Like, fuck off. Like, just, like,
I agree.
And that's what I was thinking the entire time. Because I, like, as I said, like, I think it's such a good idea, like, the type of killer that he is. Like, he's a copycat killer. The way he kills the victims are, like, he finds people who look like the actual serial killers. I thought it was so fucking interesting.
So good.
So that's so
a great
good.
Idea.
I thought it was such like, a great idea. And then, like, even when he had the mask on and everything, I was like, oh, yeah, we're going somewhere. Fucking takes it off and it's just like this fucking super cut fucking haircut guy. Oh, fuck you, man. That's what I was thinking.
No. I hate the way that he walked.
It pissed me off. I didn't like it. And no, I was just like, nah, man.
But I did like one of the strengths, I think, were the two child actors.
It was brilliant.
Melody Heard and I think his name's Caleb Elijah. I think they were great and I really enjoyed that dynamic, like the cross family stuff and many, like with the kids, that was like one of the strengths of the series. Mm-hmm. And I think the series just tries to do too much. It tries to like delve into too many stories and subplots without focusing or sort of fully flushing either. And then in the end, you get like a half baked crime drama rather than one of the other stories could have been like a season two thing easily.
Yes, yeah.
But I think it's going to get released for season two because it's
I don't think they knew whether it would. They were always going to wait to judge it on viewership, innit?
But I just think that's some bullshit.
But you need
like,
to, I think, yeah, you need to believe in your source.
Like, believe in your story.
Believe in your source and also be like, all right, we're not going to get season two. Everyone, let's just make this the craziest limited series ever and make it like now I don't want a season two because I could have wanted a season two before if it was just a bit more well thought out. That's all it was.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree.
But then, so basically, my comparison was
Pivot.
Cross was shitty because
Pivot.
Because it's America. And I do have another case study for it, but I've just forgotten it. But there have been a couple, and I'm like, it's just, Brits just do it really well. Mm-hmm. Like, we do it much better than everyone else. So I've started watching Black Doves. Can you explain Black Doves? Because I actually can't.
Yeah, I've got my notes here. So I kind of read off them. It's 6 episodes by thriller. It's set against the backdrop of London at Christmas. Starts Keira Knightley and Ben Whishaw as Helen Webb and Sam Young. Notes say follows Helen Webb, who is a quick-witted, down-to-earth, dedicated mother, wife, and she's a spy, which is really interesting because there's like the duality. And she's like the main focus of the series, which again I think is really important because it shows the multifaceted dimensions that Keira Knightley has as an actress, mm-hmm. but then also her character is very like multi-dimensional as well. Which yeah. And she's the strength of the series. I finished it. When?
Did you binge it?
Kinda.
You binged it. He's like,
it's a binge. It's a 6 episodes.
No, just like me for real.
No, it really is. That I started watching it, but I had to leave the house. That's why yeah. I stopped. But it's
a 6 episode. And they have to uncover a vast conspiracy, and it links like the geopolitics and like the corruption in that sort of world with the London sort of underground crime underworld sort of thing. Okay. Keira Knightley's incredible.
I think she's great.
She's really good in the series. Good actress, as I said before, like I enjoyed the dimension of her duality. Like she's not one dimensional. There's so many facets to her character. The action scene in the first episode that she's in, crazy, like really, really good. Again, as we said before, Brits do it well. I really enjoyed the way it captured London, like the yeah. sort of like dark.
It's shot really well.
Like overcast, yeah,
amazingly.
Yeah.
Like it gives grey, but not in like an annoying way. But it gives grey London.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, you get to see because they're quite middle class, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like.
They live well.
Yeah, it's the wealth of them versus like when she's out and about, like, and then the her who's
Reed?
The other guy?
Oh no, the guy Ben Whishaw, Sam Young.
Yes, yeah.
Sam's the other spy.
Him, amazing.
Okay.
I really like it.
Really.
I'm only 2 episodes deep.
I don't have an issue. I did find him ever so slightly dry, but I love
the dryness.
But that dynamic did work. Because of Keira Knightley's character, who's a bit more sort of boisterous in the spy sort of realm. Mm. When she's at home, she's quite like
reserved,
placid, dry, reserved, doting wife, perfect wife if you want, too perfect.
Yeah.
And the series actually explores that later on, like her perfection is a bit like, also it's an act, right? It's
yeah.
But yeah, it does work for them. And I think I was saying before, this, don't know if you've seen Slow Horses, but the series gives touches of sort of the dry humour of Slow Horses. It doesn't take itself too seriously, which is different from Jackal. Like, Jackal is intense, isn't
it? Horses, isn't that the Disney?
No, it's Apple TV. It's a really good series. It's got like 5 and... They've already commissioned season 5 and 6. And it's on season 4. Yeah, that show's one of their...
It's one of their
big ones. They did their big one, as people tend to say.
Yeah.
I'm learning. Yeah, this series doesn't take itself too seriously, which is cool, especially for a 6-episode series. My issue with it... No, let's go with the strengths. Keira Knightley, incredible. Some of the action scenes are really, really cool.
Papa's in it as well.
Who?
Papa Asayadu. He's in The Capture. He's in Gangs of London.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, he's good. He's good actor, man.
He's literally my favourite person ever. Like, I've been in love with him since then.
One day on the pod.
I'll actually find
Manifest
out.
I enjoy the fact that it has explored the detrimental aspects and what these guys as spies have to give up and the way it can impact their personal lives. The weird one with Keira Knightley's character, Helen, is that it's like, it's an act, but it still does impact her family because she loves her kids, right?
Mm.
And whereas with Sam, I think it is, played by Ben, he has to give up a lot.
Yeah.
He gives up a lot in terms of his sort of personal life for this world that he's in.
Mm.
And it does impact his life as well. It impacts the people that he cares about the most. Mm. I just think the series, because I finished it, tries to do too much.
Oh, damn.
Okay.
With that, the interconnected plots and character introductions and relationships. Not to the point where I didn't enjoy the series, but just to the point where I think it's like a 7 out of 10 rather than an 8 or a 9, where I think it was a bit more streamlined, especially for a 6-episode series.
Yeah.
Right, you're talking like an 8 out of 10 series because of how sort of the balance of like the humour with the sort of dark spy espionage world. So
I really like that.
I actually forgot to ask a question, just kind of like going back on Jackal. How's the action in that?
Oh, golly.
Okay.
Jackal is the greatest thing to come out of this UK in the last 25 years.
That's big, big talk.
Yeah, I love a big statement because I don't mean it.
Fez. No, stand on it.
I haven't been alive for 25 years. Like, just leave it. Like. Yeah, stand on it.
Better than Lana G?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because season one of Lana G versus season one of Jackal, Jackal's better.
Yeah, fair. Lana G really finds its foot by like season three. I'd say three.
Yeah, three or four.
Because you know the escape scene when Dot escapes?
That was fantastic when he's messaging on the table.
Yeah, incredible.
And he shoots through and he runs.
I'm telling you,
and
Brits.
And he's in the car. That right there, I was like, whoa!
Yes, Brits do crime differently, blood.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's all we can do. Nothing else, really.
But Black Doves is really, it's good, man. I'm glad it's got a second season. That's already been confirmed. Mm. It's got a good cast for the most part. Have any of you guys seen Happy Valley?
No, you told me to watch it.
And I did, yeah. I watched it earlier this year. It's like a crime drama, but set in like Yorkshire.
Yeah.
So it's got a completely different feel. It's very grounded. Mm. And Sarah Lancashire is the lead. She plays Sergeant Catherine Kaywood. She's quality actor, and she's obviously plays Reed in Black Doves, the white woman with the hair.
I love her.
Yeah, she plays Reed.
She's so stoic.
Yeah. Enigmatic,
And I don't feel like... her first conversation with Keira Knightley's character, when they're stood outside when she gets out of the car, is one of my favourite conversations. Because it's just so, like, it's the back and forth between them. And you already know how, it kind of foreshadows everything that's going to happen, how their relationship's going to unravel, like, further down the series. I could be wrong, but I just think it's perfect. Like, the balance they have of power, that conversation is all about power and structure, and it's really good. Okay. I really enjoyed that scene.
And the last one is it gives backstory. I always love a backstory. I can't lie. Some people say it's cheap.
No.
Give it to me as long as you do it well in it.
Yeah.
And as long as you don't do it in like, oh, let's just give you a whole episode of like a flashback. Mm. No, you can still integrate it into the like main story.
I love it because it's little like these silent montages while people are talking. And it kind of feels like you're in someone's head.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
So yeah, Doves. Black Doves is a good series. It's a recommendation. I'd say it's not like you need to rush to see it now.
So I'll watch it eventually.
But if you wanted to like watch it over Christmas, or like
Christmas
over one of your Christmas days, it's a good binge. And Keira Knightley. Shout out to Keira, man.
Shout out to Keira, man.
Jason, we've been yapping is the word. I was going to say waffling, but Basola prefers the word yapping. We have been yapping and you haven't, per se. It's your chance to yap, my good friend.
My chance to yap, okay. I mean, we already...
Did you say chance? That's interesting.
Chance?
Yeah, that's like a up north thing.
Is it?
Chance, yeah.
Oh, no.
Say again?
Chance.
That's an American thing, but you're German, so yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know a bit.
I'm actually quite sick. Why would you say it like that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's German.
It's like chance, isn't it?
Chance. Okay, it's my chance.
It's your chance.
My chance to yap. And do you know what? I actually wanted to talk about this the other episode, but it didn't finish yet. But I finished Arcane Season 2.
Animation, Johns.
Yes.
No.
But I reckon you'd really enjoy Arcane. Arcane Season 2 came out kind of like over the last, I think October, and finished on the 24th of November. It is following from Season 1 of Arcane, and it's just basically based on the game League of Legends, which I've never played, but like some of the characters of the League of Legends games, and then they were just like, let's just make a fucking story about it. Mm-hmm. And it just follows, or the themes of the story anyway, it's just kind of like, so you've got these two cities, Piltover and a different one, I think Zaytoven or something like that. Zaun. And it kind of like talks about a lot of like the inequalities between rich people and poor people, and kind of like the discrimination of that comes with it, classism, police brutality and stuff like that. And it does all these themes quite well. And then it has like this overarching theme of like these kind of like, I guess, these aliens going to this, what is this Earth version, and taking over and stuff like that. But it's more a story about the characters and stuff, and it's absolutely done beautifully. Like in Season 2 we dive a lot more into the characters, and it has done the best LGBT kind of like representation that I've seen so far. Like, okay, I'm not part of that group per se, so you know what.
I'm just kidding.
No.
That disclaimer is so funny.
The only reason why I say that is because like I can't decide what is good LGBT representation, and it's just what feels like, oh, if I was part of that group, I would definitely be like, oh.
I think you can decide it though.
Can I?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it is anyway, yeah. Personally. I think kind of like how you were saying with Bianca being a flawed character, mm. and is Bianca bi? Or one of the characters. You said one of the characters in Jacko is a bi character.
Potentially.
Yeah. That was a good scene. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's Eddie Redmayne's
one,
though.
Oh, is it?
I'm not even sure if he is, though. I think he's...
Yeah, I think he was acting, but it annoyed me because I was like, this is real life.
I think it was a means to an end.
Yeah.
Well, either or, right? But like, it was like good representation, and yeah. But in this one, so one of the main characters, Vi and Caitlin, they're both gay, mm-hmm. and they like their gayness is not at the forefront of their character.
Yeah.
Like it's just part of who they are, mm-hmm. and I thought that was done and portrayed quite beautifully, where like. Both of them are from this opposite side of the world where one is like grew up poor and the other one grew up rich, had everything, but they both lost something very dear to them, mm-hmm. and that kind of like connected them, and like
excuse me,
they like, as I said, like they're kind of like their sexuality isn't at the forefront, and but when it is displayed, it's displayed so beautifully. Like, so there is an eventual sex scene and like that, and then
is this animation?
Yeah. Which you don't see it full on.
Yeah, well, like, that's way too horny.
No, but trust me, that scene I thought was a bit much personally, because they spend a lot on it, and like considering how much money that was spent on it, I was just like, wow, these guys spent a lot of money for this sex scene, and
they just put their dick away, man, tape it down.
But I like the way they kind of like pull it all together, and like how messy relationships can get and mm-hmm. stuff like that was absolutely well done. Like the black characters, they were given kind of like so much screen time, as well as not being kind of like, again, not the black superhero, but it does turn out towards the end where like one of the black characters does become kind of like the person who saves the world, so to speak, mm-hmm. but it doesn't come across in a way where it's like cheap or kind of like unearned, mm-hmm. it is just it just feels like it just happens to be this character. It could have been anyone. Mm-hmm. It just happened to be him. And, like, it just turns out, like, it was such a good end to the show. It for me, like, I always put a lot of stock into people trying to portray their ideas. Mm-hmm. And I thought they've done a quiet world of how they talk about kind of, like, abuses of police powers and kind of, like, the inequalities between poor and the rich. And, yeah, I would recommend everyone to watch it. I think... it'll be a good Christmas watch. It's only 9 episodes. Each episode is around 30 to 40 minutes.
And this is both seasons?
This is both seasons, okay. Yeah. Netflix is on there.
Okay.
Bang out. And then...
check, maybe. Why not?
Good to go.
We're alone.
Am I?
Mm.
Yeah.
But thank you for giving me hope.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Boost egos,
do you know, maybe am I? Because I've gone through quite a long list of shows.
Like, me and Manny have said it, yeah? But I feel like the day you tap into some sort of animation, you're locked
you
in.
Guys don't
and I think that's what you're
right?
afraid of. I think you're afraid of who you might
be. I used to watch anime. Because I told you, I used to read manga.
Yeah.
So, and
so
then
why'd you stop?
I started getting hosed. That was the reason.
And that's crazy.
That is so crazy. So I get hosed and I was like, yo, this is gonna scare them away. You know, you wanna get it. But I didn't want to see my host.
That's fucking funny, man. That's fucking funny, man.
That's
I wish Manny was here for that as well. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, man. Game.
Woman of the Hour. Has anyone seen it?
Yes.
Woman of the Hour. You're going to have to remind
me. Yo, okay. So it's Anna Kendrick's first, it's her directorial debut. It's a movie about
serial killer one. Yep.
That was on TV. And it just tells a story of his, the crimes he got convicted of.
Yes.
So he has, in his trial, they said he did a bit of other shit, but these are the ones he got convicted of.
No, I watched half
of it. And is watching him on this dating show. And he's on his dating show and someone recognizes him,
mm-hmm.
because she had witnessed him abuse her friend.
Yep.
She reports it, basically nothing happens, and the story of his abuse to the inception to him getting convicted by the police. Yep. And it's just told really well. Like, it's the whole thing is super duper eerie. Like, it's just so unsettling. Like, it's so interesting because I feel like I've watched a lot of like documentaries or shows with serial killers, and especially serial killers that are like sexual abusers or like harming women predominantly. This one felt the most intense, and this made me realize that I was right when I said I don't like seeing abuse on our screens, because Anna Kendrick, because she did it in a really good way where you know what's happening, it alludes to it enough, you know what he's going to do, but you don't actually watch it happen at any point. I don't think there's a single scene where you actually see him harm a woman, like, properly, but everything is done.
It's implied
so well that you're like, oh my goodness, you know. And then the final girl that got him captured, her story is really, like, heartbreaking. Because she's obviously, like, a runaway. She gets abused. And the only way she can get out of it, she, like, begs him, like, can you not tell anyone about this? Yeah, and he's kind of like, I guess he's kind of confused and starts trusting her. And then she gets out of the car when he gets to the petrol station and she just bolts. I think in real life, she ran to, like, a nearby motel and then called the police and he got arrested. But honestly, a really, really great movie. Like, she did such a great job.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick's not somebody who I enjoy much, so it's actually quite surprising.
I know, I completely agree with you.
I think the film does a good job of somewhat placing you in the mind of the serial, I can't remember his name, the serial killer, in the sense of, like, you can sort of see when something switches in his head, and you can see it physically through his acting alongside the use of, like, sound, and it tells you all. He's about to go here. Because before that, although you're already aware of who he is, there's like almost like a full sense of, like, security, and then boom, like, you know now he's going to attack. And it always gives you, like, it was interesting, her decision to always give us a different perspective of the different sort of crimes that he committed, whether it was through, like, one was like a far distance shot through the car window.
Yeah.
One was in the house of the girl.
Yeah, just from the top.
And it was from the top. Roof, yeah. Yeah, from the top of the roof. And it was. I can't particularly speak as to why that was a decision she's made, but I did find it interesting and quite, from like a technical perspective, I guess. Yeah. I appreciated.
Do you know what it is? It felt like different stories, and I guess a lot of the time when abuse happens, people are like, why would you invite someone into your house? Why would you do certain things?
Yeah.
I feel like the way it all felt like each isolated story, and it's like, no matter the circumstance, he was going to do that. I think that's what I enjoyed from those shots, was that, okay, she invited him into her house, but also he's meant to be her neighbour, like a friendly person, someone she's always known.
Yeah.
So the fact that he just switches and then we see him abused from there, or like him driving someone out to take photos of her, and then that shot from such a far distance, they're all isolated incidents, but the outcome is always going to be the same because he's a monster.
Yeah.
And it just, that's what I loved about those shots.
Yeah. And I think it emphasised the failures of the system, in terms of when the lady at the game show reported.
About the system today.
Pardon?
Yeah. A lot of talk about the system.
The man.
Like when she reported him and there was a lack of sort of structure in place, something to be facilitated where he's reprimanded for his actions way before anything else happens to anybody else. And I think it's important for men to always, not always, but to watch these kind of films and shows, because whilst it's not a thing where every man does it, it doesn't matter, because we're always around people that either are potentially capable or are doing things that we're just not aware of.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's important for us to be aware of that, to keep our eyes open, to listen. So when that lady told her boyfriend the first time, and he was like, are you sure?
Mm.
And it's like, don't get me wrong, I part of me gets questioning, but I also think there's a time and a place, and I don't think when someone's confiding you about something so serious,
that's the time for you to be
you
like,
you would question that.
Are you sure? Yeah.
You just listen.
No, I hear it.
You just listen, and I think the series does a good job of showing us the sort of failures of the system, as I mentioned before, and of men in protecting and keeping the world safe, keeping women safe. And I think Anna Kendrick does a good job of that, and I think it's beautifully shot as well, it captures like the 70s and the 80s in one sense, but it still does feel like it's modern. It doesn't feel like outdated, but it still immerses you in that particular time period. So it's a good film, man. It's concise, it's not too long, it's like an hour and 30, 40.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I even feel like it was too short at a point.
Okay.
Because obviously there was more stories to get in, but some of them are really graphic, so I probably thought there's no point in doing that. Because if he's a
monster, it's intense, isn't it?
It's just so unnecessary to put these really...
It's an intense series, so making that longer. Last thing I would say was, well, there was like different... I think it's the contestants on the show, it showed like the different stages of misogyny.
Yeah.
So, like, at the far end, you've got this serial killer.
Yeah.
But then you've also got this guy who wants women to be a certain way because he wants a certain type of body, he wants a certain type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Physical attributes. Mm. And then you've got, like, the lower end of the scale, and, like, we're all still somewhat accountable and fallible to misogyny, whether it's, like, the most just minor the thing ever, where like you might make a comment
yeah.
to, like, being a serial killer.
Mm.
But, like, you could potentially go from A yeah. to C, potentially.
Yeah, so. No, you can see the pipeline from there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, if pipeline is the right
it's a dangerous
word.
One, so I think Anna Kendrick does a really good job for a debut.
Yeah, she should be really proud of herself, honestly. Because, I don't know, every time I see Anna Kendrick, I'm like, yo, I'm not watching that movie. But...
She's not,
you put her in thing, I'm just like, oh, you got to put someone else in there for me to really, I'm not even sure what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's really, like, unfair for me to say about her, but...
Everyone's got their actors that they're just not really keen on,
yeah,
them, to be fair.
But there's really no logical reason.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the Pitch Perfects.
I was going to say it's the Pitch Perfects, and I think it's the, for me anyway, like, in talk Excuse show... Me. Like, she's giving off that quirky white girl thing, and I find that...
Is it the Graham Norton one you're talking about?
I think
that
so. I can't remember which one. But, like, there are quite many where I see her on talk shows, and I just feel like she's very... And this is so unfair because I don't know her.
Yeah.
She just sounds jarring and feels jarring. And that's what's getting...
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was the her and Graham Norton. I was like... And I think she's promoting the final Pitch Perfect, and I was like... Oh, bro, I'm not watching this.
I'm not watching this.
This is the opposite of advertising.
Yeah, I'm so off this show. Interested. I'm so uninterested,
but
man.
But now I'm excited to see what she does next.
Yeah,
I'm actually really intrigued. Like, I'm shout out to you, man.
You brought it back around.
Yeah. I'll do a quick one. I watched American Gangster again for like the 20th time recently, and Denzel Washington's just my favorite actor ever to ever existed. He's just the best. Like, he's there's no one better for me than Denzel in this world right now.
Fez. I'm not even going to argue with that.
I agree.
Have you seen American Gangster?
No.
You haven't?
I would say slap that
on. It's on my list of... Like, there's five things I need to watch that you've told me to watch. Okay. The Sopranos.
Good series, man.
Yeah.
It was... I did put Happy Valley on that.
Good series.
But basically, I'm watching another crime show that I need to get through first.
Mm-hmm.
So I just watch a lot of TV.
Yeah, you're a TV
I'm currently watching No Ordinary Family.
What was that?
So it's a show that came out in 2010. It's about a family that go on a trip to Brazil and they come back with superpowers.
Oh.
And it's them trying to navigate the world having superpowers, but also realizing that other people have superpowers.
Yeah.
And who's actually giving these superpowers to them because their one's permanent. And it's the family dynamic and like about scientists as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what's the definition of a sitcom? Because it feels very sitcom-y.
I think a sitcom is one of those ones where it's like, I think it's the episodes and how it is where...
Is that the issue? No, it starts off and then it's the issue, then it's resolved.
Yeah, I think so. And it's like usually within a tight half an hour, 40 minutes.
It's short for situation comedy. It's a funny TV show with realistic setting, like an apartment full of wacky roommates or a restaurant where regular cast of characters crack jokes from week to week.
Damn, we were way off.
It stands for situational comedy. So I guess it can apply to anything.
Yeah, yeah, this could be a sitcom then. Then it is a sitcom.
Yeah.
I don't think comedy isn't... I mean, comedy comes in very funny.
Yeah, comedy comes in very forms. Like, for example, The Bear is still classified as a comedy.
Yeah, because it's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
That show's got a lot of hate for that.
Do you know what, yeah? That's actually who I'm ready to die on, yeah? There's no other show that says, you're not even Italian, and it's been that funny. Sorry, that is a comedy.
Oh, to Richie?
Yeah. That's a comedy. It's like, I thought she killed herself. No, that's my brother. Like, no other show has done that. Funny show. But I've been watching Ordinary Family, and that's really taking up my time.
American Gangster's good, man.
American Gangster's good.
Crazy cast. Denzel, Idris.
Everyone.
Russell Crowe. Josh Brolin. Chiwetel Ejiofor. That's a name that I think I've kind of mastered.
I love him.
He's a good actor. He always gives you a 7 out of 10 standard, like bare minimum 7. And if he's great, and if he's like better than 7, you're laughing, but he's always a 7. Never lowers the standard. But yeah, follows Frank Lucas, who's like a kingpin moving narcotics, blue magic in Harlem. And it sort of tracks his journey and sort of his demise, I guess, from reaching the peak of being the kingpin in Harlem to his demise. And it's an interesting character assessment of a man who's like very devoted to his family and to the people that he loves, which makes you think he's a good man in a sense, but he's not a good man because he's completely
ruining
his neighborhood and his community for selfish gain, for pure selfish gain. It shows the fallible nature of the man, where you might feel like you're untouchable, but all it takes is one decision for your demise. He does one thing which he never normally does.
I know, I'm excited. It's fantastic, from there it all goes downhill.
It also looks at the police system and police officers. There's a particular police officer, Richie, played by Russell Crowe, who's incredible. Yeah. And I think Russell Crowe's character, Richie, is really interesting because...
Is he given the wire? Was the wire given that?
What do you mean?
Because the way you're describing it, it gives wire, no?
It does give the wire, because it's a 2007 film, right? So you could argue it's 2007. Why did I fucking came out in the 90s? Bro, that's why. Is that the way it's shot? I guess it's based in kind of like the 80s. No, but I would have told you for certain 80s. Yeah, it's 2007 film.
And then I think Jay-Z's album came out
recent.
Yeah, Jay-Z's film probably came out like,
I promise you, I didn't even realise that. It generally, like, it, I guess it's the way it's shot, but it just feels like
just
such a...
double check, but I'm like 220% certain. It's a 2007 film. Come on,
I
man.
I would have said 94, guaranteed.
No, so really, Scott, the way he shot it was brilliant. He really captures, like, that particular era.
Now I'm really excited. I didn't realise that recently.
That's one of Ridley Scott's gems. But Richie, the character, like, he's a flawed man. So, like, he's a reversal of Denzel, in a sense, because Denzel's character, Frank Lucas, goes to church, loves his mother, loves his family, quotation marks, even though he treats them badly, loves his wife. Manners, very, very respectful of other people's cultures, because he has to travel to other countries to source what he's sourcing. But then Richie's the total opposite. He's got an ex-wife, he's got a child who, for the most part, you could argue, don't get the attention necessary. And I like that duality of the character, where, like, oh, Richie's a great police officer, but a very flawed man. Denzel is a good man, quotation marks, but very flawed.
Yeah, it's kind of like professionally. Yeah, it's the inverses of each other. Like, on the exterior, Denzel's character is this almost this perfect family man, but deep down he's rotten to the core, whereas it's the opposite for Russell Crowe's character, where it's just like on the outside he looks like a bumbling mess, but on the inside, yeah, he fucking cares. Like, the reason why his relationships are breaking down is because he cares.
He's a great cop.
Yeah, he's a great cop. And he's
too good a cop. Like, he reports something quite early on in the film, and that's to his detriment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Okay, that kind of good cop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Denzel's just so good, man. Like, menacing, charming, but very, like, stoic and ruthless.
Just love Denzel.
Yeah, Denzel's, he's incredible. And it's so a really good cast, man. Like, T.I.'s in the film. He's quite...
Of course, yeah, it's 2007.
Yeah, T.I.
Yeah, of course.
It's just one of my favorite. It's a film I can watch time and time again. Like, once a year, I can watch it and just be like, quality. Yeah. Good film, so,
I watched... Have we even got time for this?
Yeah. There's, like, 15 or so left.
15.
I watched The Heathers. It's a musical where they did a... No, it's a production, Broadway production, but they did like a taping for Prime.
Okay.
And I was like, yo, they need to do this more.
What, tape production?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is, needs to happen more. Like, I really want to see a Broadway production of Legally Blonde. That's what I'm riding out for. If they can give us a movie, I don't mind, but that's what, like, because I've listened to the soundtrack more than enough times, and I'm like, yo, this is great. If you haven't watched The Heathers, it's... The Broadway production is based on a movie, which is based on a book, just like Mean Girls, actually. It's about teen suicide.
Oh, heavy.
Yeah. No. Yeah, because it should be heavy, but it's not at all.
Okay.
It's, cause it's about teen suicide, or like the idea of like copycatting suicide, because they think the first killing isn't actually a suicide, but they think it is.
Okay.
So it's like how the teens then react further on down the line and trying to copy like what they think is a suicide. And it's like, it's really funny, but you shouldn't be laughing, but it is really funny. And the music is really, really good. And the overture, so the first piece of music you hear, which then sets the tone for the whole musical, paints the picture like impeccably. Like, it's so good. Like, it's one of my favourite overtures ever. Like, it's so good. I think it's up there with...
You, Manny, do that too much, though. I'm gonna have to stop you. Manny's the worst.
Yeah.
Manny loves a this is my favourite thing of all time.
Oh yeah, no, but I do it all the time.
Well, the hyperbole.
I'm not going to stop that.
But Manny is the worst. One of my favourite actors of all time. Bro, you said that last week, man.
Yeah, but I like, yeah. I'm never going to change.
Yeah, you won't.
But no, but...
No, but it makes sense for your personality.
But for the Heathers, this actually is up there because, yeah. No, no, I stand on that.
Yeah.
So I'm comparing, because one I can compare it to is The Witch is Dead from Wicked and...
Oh, you're talking Broadway?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, not Overture, just for that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
okay, have it.
Yeah, Heathers is up there. Heathers is number two at least. I'm going to question myself. No, but Heathers is up, yeah. It's one of my favourites.
Okay, it's my favourite.
Might be, yeah.
And The Witch is Dead from Wicked. That's really, really good. And...
The Witch is Dead is good. Speaking of Wicked.
I feel like that was a good opportunity, to be fair, for the segue.
Okay. Yeah.
No, well, that's the one thing I watched yesterday, and we're not going to spoil it.
Okay,
much, but
I mean, it's kind of hard to spoil, to be fair.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to spoil, like, if you've seen the Broadway
production. No, I've already watched it at Broadway.
Oh, okay, yeah. Then, yeah, it's impossible, well, there's nothing to spoil. Much. I mean, I guess what I do want to talk about is, I guess, more the actors. I really enjoyed Cynthia and Ariana. Like, I thought... Because before I watched the film, I've seen a lot of, like, their interviews and, like, the promos and stuff for it, right? And, like, you can make an argument that these men are doing too much.
No, they're not. The thing is, luckily, I'd watched a production,
yeah?
And I was like, they're not even crying enough for me. I'm sorry. Because I really watched it, I was like, they should cry more. It's so emotional. It's wicked.
No. Like, the people watching it is fine, but, like, the interviews with Cynthia and Ariana Grande, like, these guys are always holding hands, and they were like, yo, this journey has been so emotional for us. And I thought to myself, like, all right, you guys are doing a bit too much. But when I saw them on screen, I was just like, it makes sense.
Exactly what I'm saying, they should have been crying more.
Their chemistry was...
They were holding space.
So, they were holding space.
Let me check that.
Hey, to this day, what's she talking about?
Have you seen their reaction to the interview?
I have not seen it. I've seen a clip where Ariana was just like, I don't know what the hell was happening.
Yeah, but I was just like, she was reacting, so I just wanted to comfort her.
Yeah.
And then Cynthia was like, at first she really, and then she was like, then she said she was in queer media, and I was like, well, am I in queer media? And then she was confused, and they were like, that's what I wanted. And I was like, why did you guys react like that?
Yeah, why did you react like that?
They had the best press run ever. It's so good.
Yeah, the press run was like, not. I expected this film, okay, I don't know why I expected it to be good, but I was just like, I really want this to be good. I want everyone involved. Like, I thought this was my favorite cast of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually quite floored of how well it worked. And I was just like, wow, I'm happy for everyone involved. The songs, like, as I said, like Cynthia, like Ariana Grande, fantastic singer. We don't really need to. I expected from her, but Cynthia was so good. Like,
that's so interesting. That Cynthia.
Would you not argue that you would expect Cynthia to be incredible as well, though? Is that not?
I expected her to be incredible because she got the lead role.
No, but I would have thought it was Ariana Grande that I was like, I hope she does this well. Cynthia.
But he's talking just singing for now, though.
Oh, just singing.
Yeah, I'm just talking about from the singing aspect. Like, if we're talking about actors. If we're talking about actors, Ariana did way more. Because the only thing I've seen her really in was, like, Victoria's, like, sitcom, like, Cat and...
Simon Cat,
yeah. So, like, these very Nickelodeon kid shows. I've seen it. Was it Scream Queens she was in as well?
No. It wasn't her in Scream Queens.
But she was in something else as well.
She's been in other things, but...
Not Scream Queens, but something Scream Queens adjacent.
Yeah.
Nothing where she could, I guess, right, really show her acting chops.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, her as Galinda, I thought she was my favourite character. Like, that whole kind of, like, the... I don't know what word I'm looking for.
Is she like a pretentious princess?
Pretentious princess, but like you can see that there's more behind the exterior. Like it's not just the ditzy pretentious princess that you get, but like even with the way she acts sometimes, it's giving that whole like, you know, I'm a nice person, but like the reason why I'm nice is quite selfish. And you can see that quite on her. And I feel like the way she was able to display that was so well done. And then, yeah, I think like, The songs were obviously the main thing and they were the best thing. And then I just think that Cynthia was so incredible. Like, you know, in that one interview where they were talking about, like, oh, I see people holding space for defying gravity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can see why people hold space for defying gravity. I can see why. And I just thought to myself, like, this is really good. Like, she's got such a strong, big voice. And
which for me, the defying gravity one, what kills me the most is that she was singing live on set. Like they were singing it live on set.
Is it?
Yeah, and that's when I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I was like, they are the perfect cast because they are like real perfectionists, number one, mm-hmm. and they're real theatre kids. Like mm-hmm. Ariana Grande, like mm-hmm. they love theatre. Like there's old videos of Ariana Grande like singing. That there's a whole thread of her singing almost every single song from Wicked, just on when she's on live, when she's on set, backstage at Victoria's and stuff like.
Yeah.
She's always sang it, and then Cynthia as well. She's been in. She was on in Dreamgirls, and she was in The Colour Purple production as well. So she's done this. Yeah. Like she's not new. Like she's probably gonna get the EGOT, God willing, and she's gonna be the youngest ever EGOT holder. She
I mean,
incredible.
There is an Oscar in that film.
No, because that's the problem, yeah?
You don't think there is?
No, it's not because I don't think there is. It's because of the strict restrictions on Oscars with musicals.
Really?
So there's, because it can win, when it comes to song, it has to be original. That's the reason that Andrew Garfield didn't win anything for Tick, Tick, Boom. Even though it was so brilliant, the songs aren't new. I think they had to add another song, but in part two, I think it's meant to be more original music.
Okay.
But I don't know if I can actually qualify for an Oscar. Maybe in terms of like other things, but it won't be directly Cynthia, so she might not get.
Yeah, I don't think the actors per se. I do think there's an Oscar in terms of like the
set
costuming
design.
And set design.
Set design has
such
to.
A beautiful set. The costumes
wasn't
are amazing.
That much CGI. It was almost purely made to scale. Even like the scene when Jonathan Bailey's character is like spinning on the wheel,
those
are actual real life wheels that they were turning.
Was it?
Like,
okay, that's really good.
I know too much about this thing that I have not watched yet. And
no,
it's just like I was just so
really
invested
good.
In Wicked because that's one of my favourite productions, and I love Cynthia Erivo. I think she's brilliant, and I love how nerdy Ariana Grande is and how much she loves production and
yes.
Loves like Broadway, sorry. And she really wanted Glinda. Like she really wanted it. I think this is, I get why they're crying because it's a big moment for both of them because they have their own goals as actors, but this is like...
But to act out in your dream roles or as something as big as this. And like, even... Because I've never seen The Wicked story mm-hmm. and I didn't know... Well, no, after the press runs and stuff like that, I knew more about like the themes of the film and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I thought the themes were displayed so well and... I don't know, it made me hate the original Wizard of Oz, to be honest. After Wicked,
yeah.
I was just like, fuck, I don't know how I feel about this now. But it's so good, it's so good. Like, how it tackles, like, similar to kind of like Barbie from last year, how it tackles, like, these very big social problems in such a condensed and concise
Wicked
way.
Wicked does it better.
Hmm? 100%, Wicked does it better.
Wicked
does it way better.
It's just
like,
the same thing in terms
yeah,
of...
Yeah, I'm saying Wicked does it so much better in that aspect of like, look, these are these very real life problems. And it might even just be like at the time where it came out. And I'm so glad it's doing as well as it's doing in the box office mm-hmm. and everything like that. And I just want all of these guys to do well, man.
Yeah, and Cynthia, like, I will single-handedly start her campaign. She needs to get this EGOT. Like, she deserves it. No one is more deserving of it. Get Cynthia an EGOT, man. She's going to be the youngest person to have it.
Who's the youngest person at the moment?
No, the youngest person to have held the title at that time.
Mm.
Emmanuel something. She's what, 36? And if she waits another 2 years, which is what it would have to be, yeah, she would just have missed it because he got it at 38.
Yeah. Isn't Billy like quite close to one as well?
Billy... Yeah, because she's got an Oscar and a Grammy. She's got Oscars and Grammys, but she needs...
She needs the Emmy and then...
She needs...
Is it the Tony?
The Tony, but I don't know how she's going to get that Tony. Like,
she's already got an Emmy.
I think her thingy all got nominated for an Emmy.
Okay.
But then she got it. But the Tony is the one that everyone's like, how's she going to get this?
Yeah.
We've got to figure it out. But yeah.
No. Good film. Good film,
Cynthia.
Good film.
Yeah,
cool. Cynthia, man. Cynthia, I love you.
Caught me off guard. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I already did.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And you know what, guys? Guys went to...
I invited you. Should
one
I blame
of the
you?
Early, no. One of the early screenings, yeah.
Are we airing out...
We are.
Airing our home problems.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh,
honestly.
The Lego.
Yeah, and they were giving out Legos.
Oh!
And he didn't get me a Lego.
That's crazy.
Don't be a snitch.
That's all I wanted. That's, I was just like, when I saw it, yeah, someone posted it, was like, yeah, they gave out Legos. I messaged him so quickly, being like,
this is piece
that's
by
only,
piece,
that's
yeah?
only time she messages me when she wants something, but
that's, don't, oh, well, lie to nah. lie, this man is lying, yeah? I asked guys how many times I FaceTimed him. Do you know how I FaceTime guys all the time? And he just responded, he messaged me back going, no.
I don't do FaceTime.
It was on FaceTime, and he just goes, no. And then one time he was like, you know, I feel bad, so I called you back, but you've got 3 minutes, I'm about to get on the call. And I was like, okay.
3 minutes?
No, he literally put me on the timer. Yeah, I was like, well, I go, he's like, you know,
I can't do FaceTime, man.
He hated it.
Oh, man. Like, he's like treating me like an unwanted child. What's going on?
Three or four times I FaceTime him back to back. I could have been in severe danger, yeah? And he went back just being like, no.
That's crazy.
Good film.
You're a piece of shit.
Good film. Shout out to Cynthia. She's incredible. Ariana's great as well. Good film. I'd definitely recommend for anyone that hasn't seen it, so go see the film. But that's a wrap for today. I think that was a good, fun episode. It's been a good catch up, as always. Make sure to check out the films and the shows we've recommended. We've got two more episodes coming out before the end of the year. We've got our top five TV shows of the year, which I think will be probably the more interesting sort of episode of the two.
That were interesting.
Just one will be more, I think, because I think TV's had a fantastic, fantastic year. TV/streaming's had a great year. And then we've got a top five films of the year coming out as well, which will be a lot of fun. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe on the YouTube. Make sure to follow us on TikTok, Post Credit Scene Podcast. Make sure to follow us on IG, Post Credit Scene Pod. Make sure to check out the DSP, so Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify. That's a wrap.
You can leave reviews and comments on both Apple and Spotify now. Yeah.
And that's the Post Credit Scene Podcast, over
and out.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit.